And a convention is a time to receive from the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to trust God that God will open His hand and bless us greatly tonight and tomorrow night. Amen. Do you believe it? Put your hands together for Him. Hallelujah. Just bow your heads and just begin to thank God for tonight and say, Lord, I thank You for this opportunity. I thank You for a chance to receive something from You. I thank You for Your blessing, and I thank You for what You have in store for me tonight and tomorrow night. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your blessing. In the name of Jesus, thank You, Lord, for Your blessing. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. We gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, oh, we'll be blessed. Because we came, we'll be blessed because we came. Sing it again. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. Oh Lord, as we gather, may Your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we stand. The steadfast love, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, always mercies never come to an end. Oh, they are new every morning. Oh, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is Thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Oh, new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is Thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. New every morning. Father, we thank You for tonight because Your mercies are new every morning, and your faithfulness is very great. We thank you for what you have in store for us. We pray that you will exalt your word. We pray for revelation. We pray for insight. We pray for understanding. We pray for a spirit of faith. We pray for miracles. And we pray, oh God, for supernatural intervention in tonight's service in the name of Jesus. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to teach us and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord, and you may be seated, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to share with you tonight, and maybe tomorrow, if I don't finish tonight, but I want to share with you how to position yourself for miracles. Hallelujah. How to position yourself for miracles. Hallelujah. How to position yourself for miracles. How many believe in miracles? Amen. Well, a miracle is such that you don't even have to believe in it. Life itself is such that it will position you or put you in a position where you do not have a choice but to believe in miracles. Isn't it? Yeah, that's just the way life is. Everybody gets to a point, one way or the other, where they need a miracle. They need something out of the ordinary. They need something supernatural to happen. Hallelujah. And if you have not been there yet, or you haven't gotten to that point yet, then you just continue to live. You're going to get there one day. Hallelujah. Amen. But everybody at one time or the other finds themselves in the situation where they need a miracle. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share with you from a very simple passage in the Bible. And from that, I'm going to teach you how to position yourself to experience miracles. Amen. Not just one time in your life, but to live a life of miracles, to experience supernatural occurrences in your life all the time. Amen. Miracles of healing, miracles of financial breakthroughs, miracles of open doors, miracles of favor, miracles of supernatural occurrences and deliverances from the Lord. So many kinds of miracles. Hallelujah. Yeah, a miracle is something that would not otherwise have happened in the natural and normal course of things. Hallelujah. But it happened. And that's what makes it a miracle. Hallelujah. So I see you receiving miracles in the name of Jesus. How many need a miracle? How many believe that you can experience or you need a miracle? Raise up your hand. Let me see first of all. Now, how many believe you can experience miracles? Hallelujah. Amen. So let's look at one passage in the Bible, John chapter 6, and let's see how miracles occur. Hallelujah. The Bible is full of miracles. One of the reasons why the Bible is one of the most fascinating books a person can read is the stories of the miracles, isn't it? That is what makes the Bible stand out amongst books. It's a book of miracles. When you remove the miracles from the Bible, it just becomes like the daily newspaper, you know, or becomes like a simple history book. But the miracles bring the Bible alive. And they cause life to come into the Bible and they cause it to be distinguished from any other book that you can think of. Hallelujah. All right. So, have you found John chapter 6? Okay. Now, in John chapter 6, we read a very interesting story. I'm going to be brief tonight because it's Friday night. Amen. That's right. So, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And from verse 1. The Bible says, it came to pass. Well, I'm reading it came to pass, but trust me, I'm not reading John chapter 6. Okay. John chapter 6 says, after these things, not it came to pass. Okay. So after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. A little, yes. Verse 8. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. The fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that of the truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Amen. Amen. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Hallelujah. See, Jesus is not like many people. He has an opportunity to be king, and he says he doesn't want it. Isn't it? Some people, they don't even have the opportunity they are trying to be. Isn't it? All right. So in this little passage, I have about 9 or 10 steps to positioning yourself for a miracle. Hallelujah. Number one is to become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To become a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not just a member of a church. Can I have an amen? Not just a member of a church, but you need to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. As you can see in this story, the people who experienced the miracle were people who followed him. The Bible says a great multitude followed him. Hallelujah. So you need to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. Some people are followers of their friends. You know, followers of their friends. So you go to church because your friends go to church. Do you see what I'm saying? But not because you have met and encountered Jesus for yourself. You know, in a way that has caused you to have a personal relationship with Him. Hallelujah. You need to know Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. And one of the signs that you don't know Jesus is that outside church, you don't have anything to say to Him. Do you see what I'm saying? You only pray when you're in church. You only sing when you're in church. And outside that, you don't have anything to say to Him. Hallelujah. So it's like when someone is, you know someone, you realize that you have often interaction with the person beyond this place or any particular place. You see, when someone is your friend or you know someone, you talk to them. Sometimes you are in the grocery store, they are at work, you are still talking to them. Sometimes they are in the grocery store or they are even on the plane about to take off, you are talking to them. You get it? Sometimes they are washing and you can see that the phone is over there. They are by the sink and relationship is going on, isn't it? Sometimes they are even in the bathroom. Do you get it? Well, I just said bathroom. I didn't say what they were doing in the bathroom. All right, they are just sweeping the bathroom. Right. But whatever they may be doing in the bathroom, people are still relating in so many different places. Hallelujah. Now, when your communication with a person is restricted to a particular place, do you understand? It's a sign that there is not much of a relationship. That there is probably an acquaintance. You know the person, but you do not have any solid or developed relationship with that person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But we need to be real followers of Jesus Christ. When you are just a follower of your friend, see, when your friend stops going to church, you also stop. Do you understand? When your friend is offended by something in the church, you are also automatically offended by that thing in the church. Or you even stop without being offended by the thing. It offended your friend. Your friend brought you, like somebody I saw recently, you know, he said to me that he was leaving the church. He said he was leaving the church. I said, oh, why? What happened? Then he actually said, no, I mean, I'm trying to say what happened. You know, he was telling me that he wasn't actually going to leave at that time, but he would have left previously. So I asked him, what is the story? Then he said, oh, no reason. The people who brought me to church, they were upset and they were leaving. So I told them, well, you brought me here. If you leave, I just follow you. You know, and then they decided not to leave because of me. So I'm also here. Isn't that interesting? So the person has no real hooks. But I find that we all come to the Lord through someone. But when you come to know the Lord, you need to connect to Him yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when you read John chapter 1, you see an interesting story over there. Go back in your Bibles to John chapter 1, and let's start reading from maybe about verse 35. Verse 35. John chapter 1 and verse 35. Now, you see how people were coming to the Lord. John chapter 1 and verse 35. Maybe we can start from verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Can you see that? So you can see that John introduced Jesus to those two disciples. John met, was in a place, and then he saw Jesus, and then he said, behold, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. And then the two disciples decided to follow him. Now verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They say to him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith to them, come and see. Do you understand? So you can see that John has made an initial connection between Jesus and these guys, these two people. But now beyond John, these two people are pressing to get to know Jesus for themselves. Do you understand? So they are going a distance with Jesus that even John is not a part of. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they are the ones who are now asking, you know, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? You know, we want to know where you live. And so Jesus invites them, you know, as an answer to their quest. Because they want to know, because they are interested in pressing on and going a step further. Hallelujah. Because they are interested in knowing him more, he reveals himself and gives them the opportunity and says, you come, because you want to know, I will show it to you. And he says, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Hallelujah. So you can see that now at this point, these two guys have become convinced themselves. They are not following Christ just because of what John said. Do you see? But they are following him as someone they have personally pursued and have come to know in a certain way. Do you follow what I'm saying? Can you see that in the scripture we're reading? Okay, right. So they have come to know him for themselves in a way. And now they said, verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So you can see, here is another one who has been introduced by another, but now he is having a conversation with Jesus Christ himself. Do you understand? What Christ is telling him now is about himself, his personal destiny. He's no longer just following or relating just based on the introduction of another person, but now he's following based on an encounter that he himself is having with the Lord. Can you see that? Verse 43, the following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith to him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. So here you are, Philip is trying to invite someone to church where Jesus is the pastor. And the person is skeptical, just like some of the people we invite to church, isn't it? So can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That is Nathanael's answer. It's like somebody will ask you, can any good thing, which church are you going to? So Lighthouse Chapel, Torchlight, something. So, oh wow, can any good thing come out of Ghana? Can any good thing come out of Lighthouse or Torchlight or Traffic Light or what? Lantern or any other type of light. Hallelujah. So you can see this Nathanael, but Philip doesn't give up. Philip talks to him, say, you just come and see. Because unfortunately, some of us give up too quickly on people. Philip said, you just come and see. Just try it one Sunday. Just you follow me. Come with me. I'll pick you up. I'll drop you off after church. And I'll give you a McDonald's Big Mac meal bonus. You just come and see. Hallelujah. So Nathanael came with Philip. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Okay, so now the thing has gone beyond Philip, and now Nathanael has his own connection. Can you see that? And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Can I have an amen? Amen. So you can see that all these people were introduced by someone. But shortly after the introduction, they seem to take over the relationship themselves. Hallelujah. And they develop it. To a point, you know, they develop it sometimes even beyond the place of the introduction. Do you understand? Where the person who introduced them is not even as connected, or is not even hearing some of the things that they are blessed to hear. Hallelujah. You can see, only a couple of them had personal prophecies, like we said to Cephas, and then he also spoke to Nathanael. But you see, the ones who introduced them didn't have those fantastic things being said to them. You know, they probably were even jealous, but that's the way it is. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you, if you are interested in miraculous occurrences in your life, if you want to experience miracles, you need to become, first of all, a true and genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Amen? You see, Christ doesn't want people who are not following him for real. When we go back to John chapter 6, go back to John chapter 6 and look at the scripture again. John chapter 6 and look at the scripture again in verse 25. John chapter 6 and verse 25. Now it says, and when they had found him, now let's read from verse 24. When the people saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus said unto them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. You see, so what it seems, or what this scripture is suggesting, is that God is also a judge of the motives of our pursuit of him. That God also sees the reason why you are looking for him. Hallelujah. He says that the people, you know, in the previous verse, it says, they came seeking for Jesus. They came, verse 24, they came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. But that's only to the untrained and spiritual eye. God, who sees into the hearts of people, is able to distinguish between seeking for Jesus and seeking for Jesus because of bread. Do you understand? And the people could not hide it at all. So they came, and when they came, they didn't even ask for bread. They just said, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know, as though it wasn't about the bread. But God saw right through that. God saw right through that and said, I know what you want. And there are many people who don't want God at all. There are many people who do not want God at all. Many people feel and see churches as places where you can get all kinds of things. You know, I had a friend who once, I hadn't seen or heard anything from or even about him in a long, long time. And then suddenly one day, I get this call from him. And he has obtained my phone number from somebody else who was a mutual friend. And then he said, wow, look, I hear you are a bishop. I hear you are a bishop. Of a church. No, even then I wasn't a bishop. I was a pastor. And he said, I hear you're the pastor of a church. I said, yeah. He said, wow. Then I have to come and see you. You must have some girls in your church. So you see, if you see such a person in church, it looks like he's looking for Jesus. But he's coming for Chichi, for Jean, for Gertrude, even Gloria. But you wait till I turn Akwesi loose on him. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are people who follow God for all kinds of motives. People feel that there is something. People feel that you can get something out of God or something out of the church or out of the church members. You know, some people are looking for contacts. People are looking for people who know people who know people. One person told me, you know, I'll come to your church so you can find one of your members and try to get his or her papers for me so that I can find a job. You see, so you see, the person has come. How great is our God? It's not about God at all. It's about the papers. You know, the person is looking for something. Do you understand? And we have to be careful that because God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God knows what a person is really after. Do you understand? And none of us wants to be with someone who is after us for something they can get out of us. We want people who want us for who we are. Is it not true? Yeah, and if we happen to come with any benefits and any blessing, so be it. Is it not true? So be it. How would you like it if somebody tells you that, you know, I just found out that you have a green card. I love you. I love you. You will not be happy. And if you are happy, then you are just a kid. You are deceived. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yes, you'd like someone to be with you, but you want the person to be with you. Then whatever you come with, they can benefit from it. But it's you that must be chosen. Hallelujah. Now there are so many things in God that we will find when we choose Him. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it says, all these things will be added unto you. Because God comes with a lot of things. God does come with a lot of things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The creator of the heavens and the earth, He does come with a lot of things. And if you choose Him, you will find a whole lot of things in Him. But you don't choose Him because of those things. That is the reason why sometimes we even pray and may not even have certain answers. Because it's a test. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a test. At a point, God will have to test whether what you say. And God is a master at testing people. The Bible says He took the people of Israel through a wilderness. And He said, I suffered thee to hunger. Can you imagine? Someone is following God and he's hungry. He says that I suffered thee to hunger. That word suffer means allow. He said, I allowed you to go hungry. That means I saw you going hungry and I chose not to do anything about it. Amen. He said, I suffered thee to hunger so that I would prove thee to know whether you will serve me or not. Hallelujah. So we all need that test. Amen. There were three guys in the Bible called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were one time in a situation where the king, in the place where they lived, the king made a rule that everybody should worship him or his image, and that anybody who refused to worship him would be cast into, some fiery furnace, you know. And they sent for these three guys. They told the king, no, we cannot do this. Everybody was surprised. Said, oh, we can't. The king said, take 3 days to think about this because your life, your very life is at stake now. They said, oh, king, we don't need 3 days at all. The answer is ready right now. We don't have to go and think about this. They said, the God that we serve, He is able to deliver us from such things. But even if He can't, and even if He doesn't, that means that we have sufficient faith in God, and it's not just based on what he can do or what he cannot do for us. You know, he says we only know him as the one and true God, and he's the only one who will serve no matter what it costs us, even our very lives. And they said that if God delivers us out of your hands, great. But even if God does not deliver us out of your hands, we want you to know today that we will not bow down to your image today or tomorrow or next year or in the leap year. We will not do it. Hallelujah. It's another level. What do you think? It's another level that we are serving him for him. Do you understand? We are not following him because of the bread. We're not following him because of what he does for us. But we're following him because he is God. Hallelujah. Because he is God. All of these people, when the announcement they made, they said, we have found the Messiah. Do you understand? We have found the Messiah. They didn't know yet that he could heal. They didn't know yet that he could make bread. You know? They didn't know that he was a healer like a doctor. They didn't know that he was a baker, could make bread. They didn't know that he could raise the dead. They didn't know all these things. All they knew was that he was the Messiah. And that was enough to end their commitment and to end their following. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So before you experience a miracle, you need to position yourself properly. And the first step is that you need to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Ask your neighbor, are you a true follower or are you a bread lover? What did they say? They love bread. Hallelujah. God has a lot of bread lovers following him. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So step number two. We're talking about positioning yourself for miracles. Amen. Number two, you need to be bold and courageous. You need to be bold and you need to be courageous. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 5 of John chapter 6, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Hallelujah. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus saw a great company come unto him. Hallelujah. Now, many people would not even have attempted to feed such a multitude. You understand? There are some of us, when we see a lot of people in our house, we just hide the food. It's okay. It's like the food is not going to be enough, so I'm not even going to start. So, suppose you see your husband is there, he's very, very hungry, but the visitors are not leaving, so we are postponing breakfast, postponing lunch, postponing dinner. The eating is not coming on now, because look, I have only two fish. One for you, one for me. If I start to open it right now for all these people to eat, I'll make a fool of myself. No. So we are not hungry. All of us are there. We are not hungry. We had dinner already. And then we'll be offering just tea. Let's just make some tea maybe for the visitor, or try to give him some biscuits, or what else can we give? Just water. Bring a big jug of water and hope that they will drink all and be full. Hallelujah. But I don't blame you, because you're not like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, as for Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he took on the challenge. He took on the challenge fully. He said, we can buy bread for these people to eat. He said, I know they are a lot, but we can buy bread. If you want to experience miracles, you need to be bold and you need to be courageous. You need not to be a person who runs away from challenges, but you need to face them squarely and take them on. Hallelujah. You need to take them on. If you need a miracle of healing, you need to take it on. I need healing and I need God to heal me. Are you getting what I'm saying? I need God to heal me and God is able to heal me. If you need a financial miracle, you need to stick your hand up and say, yes, that's me. I need it. You need to be bold and to be bold in your faith and to know that God is a God of miracles and you need to trust Him also for miracles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to take bold steps. You need to attempt bold things. I find in the scriptures that even what God has promised you, like in Joshua chapter 1, you go to Joshua chapter 1 and I'll show you something there real quick. Is my message making sense to you? But you are so quiet, it's amazing to me. All right. Maybe that's just how you behave when things make sense, isn't it? Okay. Wonderful. Joshua chapter 1. Okay. Now, verse 3. What if you start from verse 2? It says, the word of the Lord came to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Verse 3. Every place, say every place. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Did you see that? That is not that I will give to you. If your foot can touch it, it means I have given it to you. In other words, the way you know what you can have is what you are able to step into. Do you get it? If you are able to step into it, it means I have given it to you. Are you getting it? The only places that you will not be able to step into are the places I have not given to you. But every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given. It's not something I will do. This is something I have already done. Can you see that? Then he said that, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Then verse 6. He says, but you've got to be strong and of a good courage. Can you see that? He said, you need to be strong. For unto these people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers, their fathers, to give them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So 3 times God keeps repeating and telling the guy, look, I've done this for you, I've done, but you have to be strong. You have to be strong and very courageous even to step into something I have already given to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God can bless you with healing. God can bless you with financial miracles. God can bless you with miracles of impossibilities, closed cases being reopened. Do you understand? God can bless you with debt issues being resurrected. God can bless you with so many things. But you need to be strong and be very courageous, even to take what has been given to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many of us are easily intimidated. And so we are not able to step into the things that God has ordained for us to walk in. But the Bible is saying that even if God was to stand in front of you and say, here, you need courage, Magdalene. You need courage to step into it. You need to say, I'm taking it. I'm going on. And he said, I'm going to give you all the land. You see, all this place that belongs to the Hittites from here and here. I'm going to give it to you. All this place is yours. It's occupied by other people, but I tell you, it's yours. Because if I stood outside with you and I pointed to a vehicle that has somebody sitting in it, waiting, and I said, this is yours. You see, you're going to need courage to go and ask the person and say, get out of this car. You get it? you understand? You're going to need courage to ask the person to step out of the car and you take possession of the car. But for all you know, that's all the person is doing, just waiting for you to come and ask. Do you understand? Because God has given you the thing. And the thing is being occupied by someone while you wait. And the person is waiting until you get courageous enough to say, this is mine. To say, this spot is mine. To say, this job is mine. To say, this opportunity is mine. To say, this place is mine. I am stepping into this door. I'm tired of living this life the way I've lived it. And now I'm stepping on into the next place. And you'll be surprised that as you take the step, the thing will actually give way. Have you seen these automatic doors that are in front of the hotel? I tell you that they look closed from a distance. But they're just waiting for a shadow. Just a shadow. Even of a little kid. And the door will answer and swing wide open in answer to the shadow of a little kid. You understand? But if you keep standing from a distance and standing at the car park, you just be there and be so afraid and terrified. And from that distance, you'll be planning and wondering, how am I going to enter into this hotel? You'll be thinking about how you can climb the buildings. I don't know how to climb buildings. Even small trees have not successfully climbed them. How do I get into this building? How do I scale the building? How do I go into the building? How? No windows open, and you'll be in the car park. You see, some of us are way too far from what you're even trying to do. But you don't know that the doors are just closed. And the doors are waiting. Even the smallest person, if their shadow will just fall in the right place, that this mighty door will actually swing open. Because that's what it's been designed to do. It's just waiting for someone to be courageous enough. Hallelujah. So if you'll be courageous to go for that job, if you'll be courageous enough to take that step forward, be courageous enough and say, look, I'm going to do it. Let's just try it. Be courageous enough even to speak to somebody about Christ. That there are a lot of people who are just waiting for someone who is courageous enough to open their mouth and say that Jesus loves you, your sins can be forgiven, that you can go to heaven, that you don't need to go to hell. They are just waiting for someone who is courageous enough. They may have that look on. They look scary on the outside. But many of them are just broken and they are in pieces in their hearts. Just waiting for someone who can overcome the coolie high. Do you know what coolie high is? It's a type of heart. Yeah. The thing is that the person feels so naked and so exposed. And so sometimes they cover themselves up with things. They cover themselves up with jeans. And they'll buy jeans that's about 3-4 sizes above them. So they can have more covering. And they cover themselves with hoods. And they cover themselves with a hat on top of the hood. They are just covering things. Just covering things because they feel so exposed. But inside those coverings is a heart that is already broken in pieces. It's a heart that is crying. A heart that is yearning. A heart that is reaching out to someone who is courageous enough. Someone who is courageous enough. I remember one time when we were driving somewhere And there was someone who wanted something. But as he was approaching us in the car, we began to roll up the windows, you know. And the person told us, oh, I don't want anything from you. I don't need your money. And then he told us something else. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember that we were all very ashamed. You get it? Because as the person was approaching us, we were scared and we thought this was someone who he wasn't at all. But he came up to us, and as he came, we just started rolling up our windows and, you know, this is just one of them, you know. But as the person came close, we realized that, from what he said, look, we even offered him money. He said he doesn't want it. We didn't take our money. And he told us what his real need was, you know. And then we realized that you can't just generalize and think that everybody who walks towards you is a strange person or a dangerous person for that matter. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So you need to be courageous and know that God has a lot of doors that are just waiting for your shadow. If you can just step in the hallway and step there, you'll be surprised how quickly the doors will swing for you. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, once you're able to put yourself together up to that point, the next point is that you will have to learn, the next one is you have to be a believer in miracles, isn't it? You have to be a believer in miracles. You have to believe in miracles. Amen. You have to believe in miracles even if you have not experienced one before. Can I have an amen? You have to believe in miracles even if it hasn't happened to you before. You can use other people's testimonies. Yesterday I was watching, you know, HealingJesus.tv. I'm sure, or I hope you are aware of HealingJesus.tv. HealingJesus.tv is our web TV in the church, Lighthouse Chapel. And we have Bishop is on there 24/7. There's some program on there. And I think that you can watch it. You will really enjoy it. You will really, really enjoy it when you turn on that television. So it's HealingJesus.tv. Okay. But this afternoon or yesterday, I was just watching one of them programs, and it was a story of a man who had been healed of his hunchback, you know. Yeah, and you could see that the whole place, all the people were in a state of shock. You get it? They couldn't believe it, because this was a well-known hunchback. You know, do you know what a hunchback is? Okay, he said that his thing is called achacha. Is it achacha or achacha? Something like that. You go, yeah. And he was standing there like that. Then he stood there just blunt like that. He said, I had this problem when I came to the crusade, and the thing is gone. You know, then he himself said, anybody who knows me can come and testify. You know, so a couple of people ran up quickly to the stage. Then one guy, he said, I know this guy. I say, here is his house. This is my house. He said, I know this guy. I say, this is my house. How did he say? I say, here is his house. This is my house. Oh, here is his house. Here is my house. That the guy was born like that. And he has always been known as a hunchback. Then the guy said, this is the fellow who came to say, here is my house. This is his house. He said, no, this is a wow. A very big wow. This is a big wow. Yeah. They were all shocked. Then the fellow, his sister, came. And she came and was like this. She was just like this. It's like, this is my brother. I've known him. He's always had this problem. The guy was just the one who had experienced, the miracle himself. He was just cool. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. The one who had experienced the miracle himself, he was just standing there, cool and unmoved. And he was more like, well, you guys can fuss all you want. But I know what condition I came here with. And I know what the Lord has done for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know what I was suffering from. And I know what the Lord has done for me. You know, one of the reasons why I like to watch those programs is because it stirs my faith up in miracles. And a good Christian must believe also in miracles. You have to believe in the supernatural. Hallelujah. The Bible says only a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You know, recently as I've been flying, you know, I just like yesterday, or was it yesterday, the last time I was on a plane, I think 2 days ago, or well, whenever it was. But I was in, as we were flying, right, I could see the clouds beneath us, and I could see the skies above us. And then from a distance, you could just see, it's like you could see sunlight. Do you understand? There was a part of the cloud that was broken somewhere. And you could see that it looks like the sun is shining through that place in that spot. And where we were was dark. As I looked at the thing, I said, this thing is just wonderful. It's marvelous. I mean, if you think of such great things and you don't... I mean, when you pick up any nice thing, once the thing starts to look nice to you, one of the first things you do is to look at the label to see where it was made. Is it not true? Yeah. Yeah. And when you see it's China, then your heart sinks. Is it not true? Yeah. But you pick the thing and you start to check the label. Once you start to be interested in the thing, the next thing you want to think about is where is it was made. Hallelujah. So you need to be a believer in a God who works miracles. Hallelujah. Believe that there is a God who works miracles. Believe in miracles. When you can't do it, don't think that is the end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The fact that you can't do anything about it does not mean God cannot do something about it. When your back is to the wall, you should not think that that is the end of the issue. Rather, you should begin to think that this is where miracles begin. Can I have an amen? Miracles begin when our efforts have ended. Miracles begin when what we can do for ourselves has reached its limit. When we can no longer help ourselves, that is where miracles begin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Miracles begin after you've done what you can. And what you can do is not enough. Do you understand? What you can do has not brought you what you need to have. What you can do has not taken you where you need to go. That is where you need to begin to experience and begin to exercise yourself in the area of miracles and start to say that I need a miracle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, I heard the testimony of one of our missionaries over in Fiji, I think it was. He said that he saw this building. He saw this building along the road. And then he went up to the owner and he asked the owner, we have a church, we want to come and meet here. Small church. He said the owner gave him the bill for the place. And he told the man that, look, frankly, our church just started. It's a small church. We cannot afford this thing. You know, the man said, you go and come. I'll think about it. He went back to the man. The man said to him, okay, you start meeting there while we discuss the thing. You know, so he went and he put his big banner on the building, Lighthouse Chapel International, and he started to meet at the place. And, you know, come the end of the month, the man didn't ask for rent. Come the end of the month, the man didn't ask for rent, you know. And so he was just there. Then another time, the man came to him and said that, look, somebody wants to rent that place. So you guys move over. And then the man gave them another place. This time it was even air conditioned, you know. And the man said, you guys should move over and come and meet here for a while. and then we'll see about that place. So they moved over to this place, and they were meeting over there, and he was just coasting and just seeing what the Lord would do. So you have to believe in miracles. Do you understand? Because you don't have a choice anyway. You have to believe in miracles. Instead of closing the door and saying that this will not happen, you have to believe in miracles. Hallelujah. Then later, the man said they should move back to the building. He said one day he was there, the man called him. The man said to him, you know something? I'm going to give you this building that you're meeting in. I'm going to give it to you for 5 years, rent free. That is my tithe to your church. And the man is not a member of the church. Yeah. The man is not a member of the church. The man said to him that, you people go meet in that place. I'm giving it to you for a period of 5 years for free. You meet over there, and that is my tithe. He said, the man said, that's my tithe to your church. And he's not even a member of the church. And I met the man myself. Yeah. Well, as soon as I got there, he said, let's go, let me show you this man. You know, so we went and we climbed up to the man's office. Then we sat there with the man. And then he told the man, this is one of our pastors. He's come to visit me. And I thought he should meet you. You know, so even the man arranged some lunch or something like that. And we went to eat some food that I struggled with. Are you getting it? But you have to believe in miracles. You have to believe that just because you can't afford it, does not mean you can't have it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Just because you can't physically pay for it, doesn't mean that you are excluded from having it. It's people who don't have faith. That's how they operate. If I can't see it, I can't believe it. If I can't touch it, it's not mine. Do you understand? But people of faith, you have to believe that there is something beyond your financial ability. There is a power that works beyond who you know. There is a power that works beyond what you have. And you have to believe it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have to believe in miracles. You have to believe in a God who can touch the hearts of people. A God who can change outcomes in your favor. A God who can turn the hearts of bosses in your favor. A God who can cause people to want to help you and not even know why. Yeah, a God who can cause people to want to help you, and the person does not even know why he wants to help you, but he feels like he must help you. He feels obliged. He feels burdened. God has put you on his heart, and he feels like he can do something to help you. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I remember I asked the man, so why him? Why do you want to help this guy? He said to me, I don't know, but I like to help the work of God. And I don't know why I chose him, but I just saw him and I thought I could help this man. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So God is able to help you, Chichi. God is able to help you. You get it? We must not allow living in America to eat up all our faith. Do you understand? To eat up all and reduce you to a seeing is believing type of person. That is exactly what faith is not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Can you imagine? It's even contrary. When you say evidence, it means you can't see it. Evidence means proof. And yet faith is the substitute of proof. So instead of walking confidently like you have the proof, if you had proof of something, you would walk with a certain confidence. Well, the Bible says that instead of that physical proof, if you have faith, you still qualify to walk with that same confidence, because faith is the evidence of things that you cannot see. Oh, do you understand my message tonight? So you need to have faith. You need to believe. You don't know how. You don't know from where. You don't know who. You don't know what. You don't know which door. You don't know when it's going to happen. But you just know that you have this God who specializes in impossibilities. And with him, all things are possible. With him, bills can be paid. With him, healings can occur. People can be healed. bodies can be healed. And provision will be made. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So have faith in God. Become a believer in miracles. Miracles happen to people who believe in them. Do you understand? When you are a believer in something, that thing happens in your... Even people who believe in ghosts and all these things. You see, they see ghosts and demons all the time. Because of their faith. Yeah. And we are quicker to apply our faith in such negative directions than positively to bring something to us. Do you understand? See, people who believe in dwarfs, they see dwarfs all the time. Yeah. They see all these mutias. They see them all the time. Say, yeah, Pastor, they see movements because of their faith. Their world is surrounded by the things they believe in. And as you also surround your world with miraculous things, you're going to see them happening in your life. Can I have an amen? I believe 2013 is going to be a year of miracles. Hallelujah. That you're going to experience miracles. And people who believe in miracles will see many, many, many miracles in that year. Say amen. All right, let me give you one more before we close. Hallelujah. Is your faith rising? Are you coming up? All right. So the next one is, do not be moved by the little faith of others. Do not be moved or be affected by the little faith or even faithlessness of others. Hallelujah. Now, Philip asked in verse 7, when Jesus asked, whence can we buy bread that these may eat? Then Philip said, this is John chapter 6 and verse 7. John chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, then Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You see, Jesus asked the question. He said, where can we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Hallelujah. This is the verse that was supporting the last point I gave you, that you should become a believer in miracles. Hallelujah. God himself knows how he will sort that problem out. I said, God knows how he will solve that problem. Do you believe it? God knows exactly what he will do. You will not believe what God has up his sleeves concerning your situation and your circumstances. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You just have to have faith. The Bible says, this, he said, when he asked this question, the Bible says, he only asked the question to prove him. Do you understand? Just to see what he would say. Because he himself, before he would come up with the question, he knew the answer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you see how we don't often ask questions to people if we don't already know the answer? Because we don't want to embarrass ourselves, especially little children. You don't ask little children questions to test them. When you, the adult, you don't know the answer yourself. You keep quiet until you are sure about the answer. Then you ask the question, isn't it? Now, the Lord knew what he would do. And look at Philip. Philip said, look, it's not worth it. 200 penny worth of bread. The way he's even saying it suggests that this 200 penny worth of bread is a lot of bread. It's supposed to be a lot of bread. That look, even if we buy $2,000 worth of bread, it's not going to be enough for every one of them, even just to take a piece. Even if our aim is to share it like communion, a pinch for every person, even that will not be enough. Hallelujah. So Philip was closing the deal at this point. He was trying to say, let's forget it. Let's forget about this. There's no point, Lord. Why are you even trying to do such a thing? Do you understand? But the Lord would not be stopped by Philip. And if Jesus was not stopped by Philip, you must not allow yourself to be stopped by people who don't have the faith you have. Are you hearing what I'm saying? By people who don't believe the things you believe. You must not allow yourself to be stopped and discouraged and to be quenched by people who do not believe as you believe. There are people who look at you and they even find you funny for believing what you believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're trusting God and you're believing God. You want to lose weight, 40 pounds, 60 pounds. And they take one good look at you and they're just thinking there's something wrong with you. You must not outpreach. Outpreach. They can't believe what you believe. They don't believe that you will achieve that which you have set yourself to achieve. Hallelujah. They don't believe that your dream is possible. They don't even believe that you can serve God. See, there are some people, when you tell them you have joined a church, they laugh at you. They laugh at you because they don't believe it. They don't believe that someone like you can become a faithful servant of the Lord. That you can be a truthful Christian. That yes, you've made your share of mistakes. Do you understand? Perhaps some not even that long ago. But that does not mean you cannot change. Doesn't mean you cannot change. And there are some people who don't believe that you can ever change. They don't believe you can become a frequent church goer, a member, committed member of a church. They don't believe that you can become a tither. They say, you will take you. One day somebody was telling me that his friends were telling him, you, we know you. The way you love money, you can go to church, but ask for tithe. You can never pay some. Because you like money. You like money. They don't believe that God can touch your heart. God can so change you that even the very things you have preached against, the very things you have stood against, that you would turn around and be for those same things. God did that with Saul. Saul was catching Christians who were people who were singing and worshiping. Saul was catching them and putting them in prison. And yet God, in just one encounter, I mean, if you met Saul in the morning, the Saul you met in the evening was different from the one you met in the morning. Within 3 days of being blind and the Lord opening his eyes, the man had so transformed. He had become an advocate and a preacher of the same message that he threw people in prison for. Because God can change people. God can take someone and turn his heart right around to face and move in a new direction. That's why you shouldn't give up on people. You should never give up on people. Because it takes only one day for God to change them. It takes just one encounter with the power of God. And God will change them. You don't know. You don't know when and you don't know how God will do it. But God can do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't let anybody discourage you. Don't let anybody tell you you're wasting your time. Don't let anybody tell you give it up. Don't let anybody tell you quit. Don't believe anyone when they tell you, look, it works for some people or may have worked for some people, but come on, be realistic. Sometimes in the name of being realistic, people rob us of precious faith that we have. Precious faith that keeps you encouraged, that keeps you going, that sustains you, that causes you to see light even when there's darkness all around. And people steal that little light from us because we believe them too quickly. Hallelujah. But we need to get away from such people. We need to believe. We need to be convinced in ourselves what God can do. Jesus was convinced in himself. The Bible says he himself knew what he would do. Peter's answer was not going to change anything. Peter was just being brought in just to see the miracle. He asked the question, just testing him to see if he had as much faith as he did. But the truth was that the deal was already sealed and he, Jesus, knew what he would do. Hallelujah. You need to get to that place to where you're not easily disturbed by other people's comments. Do you understand? And other people can make sometimes nonsense of something good you're trying to do. Look, when I went to these places and I saw some of these missionaries and I saw the churches they have built in those places, I could just imagine how, because many people, one of the guys was telling me how people laughed at him. Because he used to be a Muslim. You see, he used to be a Muslim. And then he gave his life to Christ. And to this day, his whole family has turned against him. You know, even though I think two or three more of his siblings have also come to know Christ since. He told me, he was in Ghana in October. He told me even when he went back home, you know, his father was telling him that this is your thing that you are doing or something like that. He said his father was sick and he tried to pray for his father, you know. And the father, who is a Muslim, said to him that, you will not accept it when I say I'm going to pray for you. So I will also not let you pray for me. Do you understand that? Because the father is a Muslim, and he's saying that he, as a Muslim, his son will not allow him to pray for him. So he will also not let the son pray for him. You know, he said, up to today, they do not understand. But you should just see it. You should see what the Lord has done, the lives the Lord has touched. You know, the people who have been transformed and the families that have been changed by his being there. It's so worth it. But people will laugh at you when you are trying to do something like that. Say, so you have gone bonkers. There's something wrong with you. Yeah, you have lost your mind. Do you understand? Yeah. Many years ago, a certain lady, an elderly woman, I met her somewhere. And then she just called me aside and just looked at me. She just said, so young man, so you couldn't find any work to do? Then she would ask, so young man, you can't find any work to do? It's like I'm preaching. Do you understand? Yeah. And a young person who is preaching. So there must be something wrong with you. Because preaching is for old people. I met some people also, and then I told them my age. When I told them my age, they said, wow! So, when they said, wow, I was just wondering, what does that mean? Do I look too old or too young? Then one of them said, in fact, the title bishop, it just throws another 20 years onto onto your age. So when they said you were a bishop, we just imagined that you are 60 something or something like that. You know. But there are people who do not think that it is possible. And you will all, everybody has such people in their lives. You have colleagues, you have friends, Akwete. You have people who think you are wasting your time. Yeah. You have friends who think that, look, instead of getting up and coming to job and doing the pillay thing on Sunday morning, now you get up, you say you are going to church. There must be something wrong with you. There must be something wrong with you. And if there's nothing wrong with you, then you've seen something there. That's what they say. Everybody has them. Yeah. We all have them. But one by one, their knees will bow to the same God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One by one, every knee will bow. It's just a matter of time. When and how. Some people, their knees will have to be forced to bend by pressures and by circumstances and situations, and they will have no choice. But many also will bow voluntarily because God has shown them the light that he has shown you, and he will cause them to come to know him. Hallelujah. I'm going to end here tonight, but I want you to come back tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. And tomorrow we're all going to pray and believe God for miracles. Do you believe in that? We're going to pray and believe God for any type of miracle. Hallelujah. Because God is a giver of miracles. And any type of miracle, we're going to ask God for it. I know many of you need all kinds of miracles. Hallelujah. And I don't have the answers, but God has the answers. Philip didn't have the answer, but Jesus knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he would do. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. Jesus knew exactly how he will feed all these people. And God knows exactly what he will do for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stand to your feet and let's pray and close the service tonight and bring just our blessing to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe that you are a God who works miracles. You are a God who works miracles. And tonight, I acknowledge you as such, that while I may not have the answer, you have the answers. While I do not know what to do, you know exactly what you will do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Just thank the Lord, everybody, tonight. Just pray and say, Lord, concerning this situation, I just give it up to you now. I just hand it over to you. I hand over this situation to you, Lord, because you are the miracle working God. You are a miracle. God is not just your Savior. God is not just out to save your soul, but God is also able to work miracles in your life, in this present life that you live, in the name of Jesus. God is able to put laughter in your mouth. God is able to cause you to laugh out very loudly because of the miracles that he has performed. The Bible says that when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like those who dream, because he filled our mouth with laughter. We thought we were dreaming, but God had made it real. So God is going to touch you, and God will touch your life and touch your situation and your circumstances, and it will be to you like you're dreaming. You would be like someone who is dreaming, and yet it will be real, because God is a miracle working God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are grateful to you tonight, and we worship you tonight and say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Let your miracle power, let it flow in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God's miracles are beginning tonight. His miracles are beginning tonight. God is going to begin to open doors in your life that have stayed closed. It's like nothing will turn this knob. Nothing seems to be able to turn this doorknob in your favor. Nothing, this door seems to answer to nothing. All the efforts you have made, everything you've tried, has come to the same dead end. But God is coming into your life tonight, and he's saying that I am the one who opens and no one can close. And when I close a door, no one can open it. And tonight, God is descending upon your life and upon your situation, and his miracles are beginning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Makamoro shataria la babara baba shataria la babara. Masakafa la babara masakafa. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. You are a God of miracles. And tonight, we look up to you in the name of Jesus. Yes, go ahead and commit that situation into God's hands, and God will take it up. And you need to believe that God is able to work miracles. Lord, you are a miracle working God, and we thank you. We thank you for your power, and thank you for your blessing. In the name of Jesus.